T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bridget Calhoun, who's a public health expert and professor at esteemed Duquesne University here in town. Bridget, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
What's the number one thing everybody's talking about right now? It seems like, how do I get a vaccine? And we've seen everybody point the finger. So locally, people are saying, oh, it's the state. The state's saying it's the federal government. The federal government said, we left it up to the states, the supply. So how do you see this rolling out? And where do you think we can go in short order to get better at getting vaccines in people's arms?
Right. Well, you've summarized the current situation rather well. I think it's important for folks to realize that a mass vaccination program really requires very careful and deliberate planning. And this is different than the routine administration of vaccines during, you know, the normal provision of healthcare. This is what we refer to as an outbreak response mass vaccination program. And so the goal of that is to vaccinate as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time. And that requires careful planning and real diligence in terms of making sure we have the appropriate facilities, the appropriate supplies, the workforce, and realizing that we need the flow of patients in and out to be as efficient as possible. And, you know, I certainly don't need to tell you or anyone else about the current challenges with our workforce. I mean, we see this additional burden on the workforce, which is already stretched thin. We have folks who are working long hours, they themselves may be patients. And so really the planning for this is crucial. And it also requires appropriate transportation and timely transportation of the vaccine from the manufacturing site to the distribution site. So it's a really large coordinated effort. And when it doesn't work well or it doesn't flow as well as anticipated, I can see why people get frustrated, definitely.
And we talked to the governor earlier in the week, and he confirmed that there is no central distribution system in the Commonwealth, meaning that the vaccines go directly from the manufacturer to the point where they're going to be distributed, like the hospital or the doctor's office or the pharmacy, whatever. They go directly, so there's no middleman in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But the vaccine distribution was supposed to be for a group 1A. And then 1A expanded before we actually had more distribution, more vaccines to distribute. Did that cause too much confusion and too much of an influx in our system?
Well, I think we're all grateful that there is no intermediary, as you've described. And sure, I think it did require us to pivot and change a little bit, knowing that the sheer number of people who now qualified was different than initially planned. I think it was a good change, and I think it was appropriate, but it just required, again, some additional reconsideration and planning on how we're going to get this done. We try to stratify folks based on their risk for not only acquiring the infection, but also projecting the likely outcome of the infection. So we have to make sure that those who are greatest risk for becoming infected and then those who are greatest risk of perhaps of coming from the infection are vaccinated first. So, you know, changing the priority and adding and making that first group large like it is right now was appropriate, but it also provided some challenges, which I think even anecdotally a lot of us have heard about over the past few weeks.
We're with Bridget Calhoun, public health expert, professor at Duquesne University. Some of our physicians have suggested, why didn't they send them to doctor's offices? Because, A, they know their patients. They know who's in the categories that would be appropriate right from the get-go. And that's what they do, is administer vaccines, among other health care that they provide. They kind of eliminated the family practitioners or the single practitioners outside of the big venues.
Yeah, that's true, and I've heard that concern as well. However, as I mentioned a little earlier, you know, we are in a situation of an outbreak response mass vaccination program, and that is specifically geared towards vaccinating the greatest number of people in the shortest amount of time. So rather than having maybe 5 or 10 people vaccinated in a day that are interspersed between patients who are seeing their primary care provider for different reasons, a process like this allows us to, you know, get people in and out rather quickly so that we can vaccinate numbers in the hundreds and ideally thousands per day. And the facilities that are chosen for such mass vaccination programs have to be conducive for that, to allow for that rapid flow and that rapid turnover and a very efficient administration of the vaccine. So we need places that are well ventilated, facilities that can accommodate a lot of people. And where we are right now, it's not even just a lot of people. It's a lot of people who are hopefully still social distancing, and that we have area reserved for surveillance after they get the vaccine for a period of about 15 minutes, just to make sure that they have no adverse events following that. We also have the obligation to still maintain the legal process for providing health care, and that is obtaining consent and the appropriate medical record keeping. And when we have a lot of folks involved, both professionals and paraprofessionals, we can move through this process quite efficiently and get the most number of people vaccinated. Now, here in the city, there were some vaccines that were distributed to individual physician practices, but in order to get the most people vaccinated as quickly as possible, we need these mass vaccination programs in facilities that are conducive for it.
And, you know, we have a lot of large health systems in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and in our region as well, but there's a lot of small pharmacies, doctor's offices who have not received any word or any insight as to when they'll get the vaccine. Are the bigger players being favored in the vaccine distribution and the number of doses that they're receiving over the more community located places?
Well, it certainly could appear that way. But again, these large systems allow us to do this very efficiently, and they are employers of hundreds and thousands of healthcare providers who have always been within that first category of priority. And, you know, I think it's worthy of mentioning, too, that, you know, Pennsylvania is a large state, and we're both rural and urban. And, you know, I think getting the vaccine to different areas just takes a little bit of time. But from a public health perspective, it makes sense that some of the larger health institutions and health systems within the state, both here on the western side of the state and on the eastern side, were among the first to receive large batches of doses because of the sheer number of their employees.
Part of what happened is once they included the 3.5 million additional people in the first group, is they created it may have been appropriate certainly to do that. I'll leave that to you, the professionals, but they created false expectation because the supply wasn't available. And now you see anxiety-stricken people who are on the line for hours or trying to call, which they shouldn't do. And it's ratcheted up everybody's angst to get the vaccine.
It certainly has, yes. And I share that frustration. You know, this is a stressful time, even when prior to us having the vaccine. And I think, you know, folks trying desperately to get on the list or even in line, you know, to get the vaccine is frustrating. I, too, have heard of folks who have been on the phone hours only to get to what appears to be the end and then are disconnected, or, you know, the entire process has been negated for some reason. And that is very frustrating. And I think what added to this a little bit was the requirement, at least for the first two vaccines that were commercially available, for a second dose. You know, so there was this concern about, well, do we administer everything that we have without knowing what supply will be here in the next several days? So, yes, this has been a challenge. And as we see more and more vaccines becoming available, single-dose ones will also be coming down the pike sometime soon. So that hopefully will help. But in the meantime, you know, folks just have to realize that there's a lot of really good people working on this to try to make sure we do this as efficiently, as safe as possible. And their time is coming, definitely.
And you're a health expert. So real quickly, what one thing would you have changed about the rollout?
I think being able to project when the next batch was coming and the size of that batch.
Okay.
You know, so that we can allocate appropriately first dose versus second dose and make sure that we don't have people signed up, which is in excess of the doses we have. Similarly, we don't have fewer people sign up than the doses we have. You know, we want to administer vaccines. We don't want any wasted. And so there is a very delicate balance there of supply and demand.
Bridget Calhoun, public health expert, professor, Duquesne University Honoridisc Institute at Pittsburgh Newsline. We appreciate your time, Professor. Thank you. We'll call again. We have your number now.
I certainly hope so. I look forward to it. Thank you, gentlemen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.